All right, turn in your Bibles with me to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, chapter 40. And I'll begin reading at verse 25. And you can follow with me in your Bible. Isaiah, chapter 40, beginning at verse 25. To whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word and for this passage that we're looking at tonight and others that we will be looking at as well. I just pray that, Lord, you might use your word to speak to our hearts and our lives, and Father, you might magnify yourself through it. We just thank you, Lord, for your goodness and kindness, your mercy, your greatness. We thank you, Lord, that you are a gracious God and a generous. And we thank you, Lord, that you love us. And you care about us, and you always have our best interest at mind. We thank you. We can rest in that with confidence and peace in the safety of the Lord. We just pray now, my Father, as we look into your word, that you would open the lips of your servant to speak and the heart of your people to receive your word. And I pray you'd guide us and direct us through it, that you might be magnified, your Son, the Lord Jesus, might be glorified, your people might be edified, and sinners might be saved. We ask your blessing. We'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. We are now into the third month of our new year. It's March. And we had some time to measure our resolutions of January. The vast majority of resolutions never see fulfillment because of a lack of that which is required, which is resolve. The word resolve means firmness of purpose, determination, and fixed intention. Making resolutions is easy, but keeping them is difficult. And what will 2026 bring? How will we fare? When we get to the end of the year and we look back at our course, what will we see? Shall it be that we have flown with the eagles? Or have we walked with the turkeys? Let's look tonight at several passages I think might encourage us for the coming year and challenge us as well. Number one, in verse 31, we have flying with the eagles. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now we all know Christians who seem to rarely, if ever, get off the ground. Christians whose lives are kind of stagnant and unproductive. Christians whose lives are filled with compromise and pessimism. Christians who do not seem to see the importance of spiritual things. And some are dawdlers who never seem to get involved, while others are fringe people who never seem to get engaged. Every church, whether large or small, has such a crowd. Then we know Christians who seem, for the most part, to be motivated and optimistic and captivated by Christ. They are dependable, they are faithful, they're involved, and they're productive. They grasp the importance of the spiritual, and they seem to be everywhere, doing everything. You see, some Christians are like turkeys. and some are like eagles. Now, turkeys, you know, they're content with walking and running and flying only if they have to, and then not very far and not very high. Turkeys see only a small part of their world at one time and would only realize a limited portion of their ability to fly. Turkeys are common. They're unspectacular and not particularly regal. No one ever says, "Hey, I saw a turkey today." But oh boy, if they see an eagle, it's a different story. Eagles, on the other hand, are not walkers. They are flyers. And they would rather fly than walk. They would rather fly than run. They fly high, they fly fast, and they fly accurately. They see the great expanses of their world and realize the full potential of flight with all of its splendors and its excitements. While the turkey only goes on the ground and sees inch by inch, the great eagle soars in the air and sees great expanses. And while the turkey may experience the thrill of flight from time to time, the eagle experiences it every day. Eagles are unique. Now, how about you, dear Christian? What kind of Christian are you? Now, I understand that turkeys and eagles are created differently. I also understand that people are different, with different skill sets and aptitudes and abilities and gifts. But I also understand that people have something that birds do not have, and that's the ability to change. A turkey can never change into an eagle. And an eagle can never, and probably never would want to, turn into a turkey. But as human beings, God has given us a uniqueness of choice and determination. And we can change. But I also understand that in our text, Israel was acting more like turkeys than they were eagles. They had lost their vision, they had lost their faith, and they lost their courage, which was based upon their relationship with God. They had lost sight of who God is. They had lost sight of what power lies within his being. Look at verse 25. He said, "To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal?" And the answer to that is, there's no one. Look at verse 26. "Lift up your eyes on high and behold who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them by names by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one failed." He said, look out at the universe. You see all those stars? I know the name of every one of them. All those planets? I know the name of every one of them. He said, and because of my might and my power, they do not fail. The sun comes up every morning because of the power of God. The moon shines every night because of the power of God. He said, that's who I am. Who's like me? No one, says God. Look at verse 28. "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary." There's no searching of his understanding. He said, listen, I never get tired. I never get weary. I never get weak. I'm the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. I change not. The power that God has always has, he still has and always will have. He said, don't liken me to you, because you get weary and you faint. But I don't. God doesn't ever get bored. Imagine that. I think when we're in heaven, we'll never get bored. They had forgotten who God was. They had forgotten what God was like. They had forgotten what God could do. Look at verse 29. Here's what God does. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. He's saying to Israel, listen, I know you're weak, but come to me, I'll give you strength. I can help you. They had become weary and weak and were grounded like turkeys and were content to be so. But God, through the prophet Isaiah, calls them to soar like eagles, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And the key from turning from a turkey to an eagle is waiting on the Lord. He said, you're all over here, and this whole crowd over here, they're weary, they're faint. He said, but they that wait on the Lord, I'll renew their strength. You're tired? I can give you strength to go on. Amen. You're weary? I can give you power to continue. Amen. But you have to wait on me. That word wait means to hope strongly. It means to trust, implying firmness and constancy of mind and patience. Perfect peace have they whose mind is stayed on thee. That's what he's talking about here. They that wait on me. They that depend on me and trust in me. In Psalm 27:4, the Bible says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Turn with me to Psalm 37, but keep your place here. Psalm 37, if you would. And let's look at verse 1. Psalm number 37. The Bible says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. We can fall into that trap, can't we? We can get all scared and fretting about evildoers. He said, don't get all stewed up about evildoers. And he says, and don't be envious against the workers of iniquity. Don't look out and see what they have and get envious at what they have, because you don't want to be what they are in order to have what they have. Verse 2, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Here's what he tells us to do. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. You know, hear what he kept saying? Fret not, fret not, fret not. Kind of like, let not your heart be troubled. Kind of like, fear not. He said, fret not. We shouldn't spend our time as Christians like turkeys, fretting and fretting and fretting and worrying and all, wringing our hands. Right. He said, I'm God. Is anything too hard for me? In verse 3, he says, trust in the Lord. In verse 4, he says, delight in the Lord. In verse 5, he says, commit thy way to the Lord. In verse 7, he says, rest in the Lord. And then in verse 8, again, he says, fret not. But if you're not trusting, delighting, committing, and resting, then you're fretting. Listen, the truth be told, without Christ, we're all a bunch of turkeys. And it's only by the grace of God and the power of his Spirit that we might mount up with wings as eagles. It is by his word and by his Spirit that we are refreshed and renewed and revitalized. Amen. Christians who fly like eagles are those who have learned and are still learning how to trust and depend and to hope with firmness and constancy and resolve upon the Lord to be lifted up with his wind under their wings and his wings under theirs. So you can fly like the eagles, or you can walk like the turkeys. Number two, go with me to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 12. So the Lord is saying through the prophet Isaiah, mount up with wings as eagles. He talks to Jeremiah about running with horses. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5, if thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they were wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Here's God answering Jeremiah's complaint of why and how long. Many a Christian has asked the same thing. Why and how long? Many a Christian is discouraged and sidetracked and stopped by the trivialities of life. The small problems and tribulations common to all men on this sin-cursed globe. We get sidetracked and stymied by opposition, by ridicule, by false accusations, by disappointments and circumstances and offenses. And Jeremiah, a prophet of God, was discouraged because the people of his own hometown would not listen to him. But rather they opposed him and they ridiculed him and they ostracized him. And God, his answer was to Jeremiah, here it is, toughen up. Running with footmen is easier than running with the cavalry and the chariots, isn't it? It's hard to keep up with horses. It's hard to run against horses. Enduring the men of his own little hometown was like running with the footmen. But when he gets down to the big city of Jerusalem to preach, it would be like contending or running with horses. He's saying, if you can't handle it here in your little hometown, what are you going to do when I send you down to Jerusalem, to the big city? If you can't handle Anathoth, what are you going to do when you get to Jerusalem? Dear friends, there's Jerusalems ahead of us. God also asked Jeremiah how he would handle the roaring, foaming, and noisy Jordan when it was overflowing its banks if he got wearied by the sleepy little peaceful village of Anathoth. Now, some commentaries have suggested that the Lord's referring to the lions that he in this overflowing of the Jordan and so forth. He's referring to lions that dwelt in the thick, lush tropical forests that were along parts of the Jordan. It's almost like God was comparing the persecution he received in Anathoth as to kittens and that which he was going to get at Jerusalem as lions. You think the waters are rough over here, Jeremiah? What are you going to do when you get down to the Jordan overflowing its banks? He's saying, you better toughen up because there's bigger waters ahead. Many Christians are easily worn out by life's common experiences or quick to quit in the face of ordinary tribulations or fast to faint at the onslaught of general calamities. Therefore, they never run with horses. They only run with the other footmen. And footmen are needed, don't get me wrong. But I ask you, do you want to fly with the eagles? Do you want to run with the horses? You do? I didn't hear anybody say they wanted to, but it's right here in my notes. It says, you do? Then you'll have to remember what the Lord told Isaiah. He said, wait on the Lord. And what he told Jeremiah, and which Jeremiah had apparently forgotten, in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 6, then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord.
Amen.
So God told both prophets the same thing. He said, trust me. Here's Jeremiah. Like, remember Moses? Moses said, Lord, I can't talk. You don't want to send me down there. What's Jeremiah saying? I can't do that. I'm just a little child. It's too much for me. God said, don't say you're a little child. He said, I'm going to give you what to say, and you're going to say everything I want you to say, and you're going to do everything I want you to do, because I'm going to deliver you.
Amen.
God said, you go, and let me be the wind under your wings. You go, and let me be the power in your legs. Proverbs 24:10 says to us all, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. God told Paul that his grace was sufficient for him. Do you remember that? And Paul tells us in Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It is the same message given to Isaiah and Jeremiah and Paul that is given to us by the word of God, so that we can mount up with wings as eagles. And we can run with the horses. That means we're going to be something bigger than we are, better than we are, more than we are.
That's right.
How do we do that? God said, I'll do it. My third one is this. Go to Habakkuk. Yes, it's in the Bible. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 19. Another prophet of God, Habakkuk, writes this. And my first point is flying with eagles. My second point is running with horses. My third point is climbing with hinds. He said this, Habakkuk 3:19, the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments.
Amen.
The prophet depends upon the Lord to give him strength and agility.
Right.
Like the hind or the deer. Here's interesting facts about this hind. The deer or hind referred here can also be called a gazelle, a graceful, swift, and sure-footed animal that can climb sheer rocky cliffs and never stumble or fall. In climbing, the deer can place her back feet exactly where her front feet were, thus needing only two sturdy footsteps instead of four. She can scamper across what appears to be vertical cliffs, unafraid and undeterred by seemingly impassable terrain. I don't know if you've ever seen videos of those. I have. And it's incredible. I mean, there might be a space an inch wide, and that hind can put her feet there and walk almost up a straight wall. It's amazing. When we run with hind's feet on high places, we're treading on the heights. We live above our circumstances. And God gives us the grace and the courage and the inner strength we need to press on to attain new heights and experience new vistas. Listen, dear Christian, there's still somewhere to go. There's still higher ground. But you'll never get there wearing combat boots. You need God to give you hind's feet. You need God, as Habakkuk said, the Lord is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. He said, I'm not going to have hinds' feet. I'll have on combat boots, but somehow they're going to be like hinds' feet. I've often watched deer go up steep hills effortlessly, leap over downed trees without a second thought, and run through cover where a hound dog wouldn't even go. Habakkuk's prayer ends with trust dependence and resilience and reliance on God to give him everything he needs to overcome and to climb to new heights. God's not done with you yet. Take a breath. You're still alive. That means God's not done with you yet. As long as you're here on this planet breathing God's air, there's new heights to go to. There's something new to see, something new to learn, somewhere new to go in your Christian walk, in your Christian experience, in your knowledge and understanding of the Lord Jesus. In times of danger or to evade enemies, the hind can scamper up places quickly to safety and evade her enemies and find a place of advantage. The hind sees the vertical cliffs and rocky terrain that intimidate other animals as simply stepping stones to victory. When the ground beneath us seems unstable and the terrain before us seems steep, God can give us hind's feet to take us on to higher ground. God can order our steps. He can direct our paths. And he can establish our going. And God can take us to places that no one has ever taken us to before. You don't know where God's going to take you next week. You don't know where God's going to take you next year. I don't know either. That's what's so exciting about being a child of God and being born again, is because your life is in his hands. And every day is a new adventure, isn't it? But I want every day, I want to fly like an eagle. Every day, I want to run with the horses. Every day, I want to climb to higher ground. Even if it's just a little bit. When obstacles surround us and the way seems impassable, our God can give us hind's feet to leap to safety. Psalm 18:29, "For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God I have leaped over a wall." There's a lot of walls in life.
That's right.
That the world, the flesh, and the devil try to put up to keep us from going forward. But God can give us hind's feet, and we can just jump right over the wall.
That's right.
There are obstacles and ways that seem impassable, but God can give us hind's feet to climb where we would never be able to climb on our own. You see, we need the "I can" attitude of the Apostle Paul, Philippians 4:13. We all know it. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." We need to have the "I can" attitude of Paul, and we need to have the "I will" attitude of Isaiah. "Here am I, send me." He said, "Who will go for us?" Isaiah looked around, didn't see anybody else, and said, "I'll go. Here am I, send me." Paul said, "I can." Isaiah said, "I will." And we need to get the "I can" and the "I will" because he is.
Amen.
It's not just "I can," because you can't. And it's not just "I will" because you won't. It's "I can" and "I will" because he is. He is who he said he is, and he can do what he said he can do. And I can trust him, and I can wait on him. And he'll be my strength. He'll get me through. He'll get me over. It's up to you. You can walk with the turkeys or fly with the eagles. You can run with the footmen or contend with the horses. And you can climb with hind's feet or plod along in army boots. It's up to you. You can have the wind of the Spirit beneath your wings and the power of God in your legs and the sure-footed steadfastness of Christ. Or you can just be yourself. Do you want to run? Do you want to fly? Do you want to climb to new heights? Then come and put your trust in the one who can make you fly. And your trust in the one who can enable you to run and the one who can take you to higher ground, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow for a word of prayer. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, dear Christian, are you tired of limping along and trying to convince yourself that you're running? Are you tired of walking while telling yourself that you're flying? Are you tired of hiding and hunkering down when you could be leaping and climbing? Do you want to see the field from the air, or are you content with your little inch by inch from the ground? Do you want to get there first by running with the horses, or get there last with the footmen? Do you want to climb to the fresh breeze of the cliffs, or stay in the humidity of the valley? The difference will be getting an attitude of I can and I will because He is. Perhaps you're here tonight or watching or listening. A whole lot of things didn't make sense to you. You don't have this available to you. If you're not saved, you have no wings with which to fly. You have no power in your legs with which to run, and you have no feet that can bring escape. The Bible says you're dead in trespasses and sins. Dead men do not fly, dead men cannot run, and dead men will not leap. They are earthbound. And not only are you dead spiritually and earthbound, but you are doomed. For without Christ as Savior, you are hopelessly lost and on your way to the eternal lake of fire as a just punishment for your sin against God. But be of good cheer. The Lord Jesus Christ came to earth and was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life and gave that life and shed His sinless blood on Calvary's cross as a sacrificial Lamb of God. He died and was buried and rose again with the power and the authority to forgive sins and to grant eternal life to all who will believe on Him. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can crawl along through this life and then tumble into the eternal fiery abyss. Or you can turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and seek forgiveness and salvation and begin to fly like an eagle, run with the horses, and leap to vistas you've never before imagined. It's up to you. What will you do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? You say, preacher, I want to trust Him as my Savior. I want to have that gift of eternal life. Would you slip your hand up and say, I'm right here? I'd like to ask Jesus right now, right in my seat, I want to ask Him to give me the gift of eternal life. Heavenly Father, we thank You tonight for the Word of God that challenges us and yet confirms to us who You are and what You can do. Lord, there's no limit with You. And Father, You can help us to fly like eagles. You can help us to run with the horses. And You can help us to climb like the hinds to higher ground. Oh, if we'll just wait on You, if we'll just trust You, if we'll just look to You as our strength. Help us, Lord. Give us the resolve to wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Guide and direct in the invitation. We'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing our closing hymn tonight. That is number 579. I surrender all. Is there something you need to surrender so that you can leap and climb? Is there something you need to surrender so you can fly? Is there something you need to surrender so you can run with the horses? Why don't you do it tonight? Maybe you're a turkey. You want to be an eagle. Maybe you're a footman. You'd like to run with the horses. Maybe you've been down in the humidity of the valley and you'd like to climb up like a hind to the fresh breezes of the cliffs. Jesus can take you there. Why don't you come and talk to Him about it? We're going to sing number 579. If you have any questions about going to heaven, I'd like to meet you at the front. We'll take a few moments to share with you how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven when you die. 579.